2004, and I am interviewing Mr.
Nils D. Verhey. That's with the V for Victor.
Can you spell that, please?
V-E-R-H-E-Y.
Okay. Can I get your date of birth, what branch of the service you were in, and what years you were in?
Born March 11th, 1925. I was in the service from 43 to 45.
What branch of the service?
I was in the 82nd Airborne,
hoorah,
508 Parachute Regiment.
18th Airborne Corps. Brag, I know. let me see. Ask that. So you were in the Army. Okay. What were your most memorable moments while you were in the Armed Forces?
Well, there's so many of them. But
well, I got a lot of tape.
let's start when I went through basic training, paratrooper, in Fort Benning, and then they shipped me overseas to Ireland, then to England, to Nottingham, England. I made a couple practice night jumps in England. Then we went over to D-Day.
You were in D-Day? You participated?
I was in D-Day.
Oh my goodness.
One of the first ones in there. When I jumped out of the plane, I looked down, all I could see was water. And down there, the water was about 4 foot deep. It was a flooded area, and we had to find a place way out. It was all scattered around. We finally found a way to get out of there. And when it got daylight, we looked, and here we could see the people coming on shore on the landing.
Okay.
And every time I see somebody now, I says, "What took you so long to get to me?" I says, "I needed help already."
Now, had you been injured, or was it just trying to find your way out?
Just trying to find my way out. When we got organized, men, as much as we could, was all mixed up, different men, different places. And the lieutenant told me, or colonel, I don't know which it was, he says, "Well, I was a bazooka man."
Okay.
So he says, "You go down there on this corner, and you see that nobody gets through." I says, "Oh, I don't know what I had myself. I didn't have a bazooka or nothing. I had a rifle." And he says, "Here, take this guy with you." And he didn't have anything. So we went down there in the corner, and pretty soon here comes a German command car right down the road towards us.
Oh my God.
And I got ready to throw a grenade in there. Then I happened to notice this little yellow flag or ribbon. And that's our thing there, you know, that it's one of our own people.
Okay.
And here's the some GIs already out joyriding. So I went on different places fighting there. They took us and we'd have to go into attack from one town to another, little towns. We'd go in there, take the town, and then the infantry, regular infantry soldiers would come up and take over our places. And finally, I was on this one road box, just this one fellow and I.
Oh, no.
It was awful cold there. In the morning in June, you know. And we were setting up for a roadblock there. We had some landmines out in the road. And pretty soon, here came a whole patrol of Germans down the road on us. And so we had this British grenade. You throw it, and when you throw it, it hits, then it goes off.
Oh, okay.
And this buddy of mine, he put a whole bunch of British pennies in there, the great big pennies. He stuck those in there. Well, he threw it on the patrol, and apparently something hit him in the eye. He lost his eye, and the patrol scattered. And one guy was out there, dead or wounded he was. And they always told us, well, if the Germans come right down on us, we're all by ourselves, to get out of there and go back where these other men was. So we went back there. And then my sergeant, he says, "You go out there and bring the soldier in." I said, I'm not going to go out there by myself, because our guys are shooting down the road, the Germans are shooting down the road, and I'd have to cross the road. Well, he says, you take the other guy with you. So we crawled in the ditch down there to where this German soldier was, and we said to him, come sit here. And he'd try to get up, and he'd fall down. And we thought, well, is he playing games on us or what? And so then we went and shot over his head, and he still tried to get up and come down. And the fellow says, with me, says, well, shall we rush him? I said, I'm not going to go across that road if our guy's shooting one way or another. And so we threw a hand grenade on him. Then we went back to our outfit. Well, the next day, I had another man with me. And was at the same corner. There's just two of these houses, farmhouses there. And like I say, it's cold and that. And my friend says, my buddy says, well, let's go to this barn over here and get some straw to put over us to keep warm. So we started to go. He said he'd go first and for me to follow him and back him up. And he no more crossed in front of this farmhouse door, and a shot ran out and knocked him right down. And it come to find out, it was one of our lieutenants. We didn't know he was there. He didn't know we was there. And my buddy laid there on the ground. He says, please, sir, don't shoot me, sir. Please, sir, I don't want to die. Get a doctor, sir. And he died. There's nothing we could do for him. We looked for where he was shot and figured his bullet must have hit him in the spine and the back. So I lost a buddy there again. Well, then I was in the holes again. We had trench holes right there. And next morning, you have a hard time staying awake all these days, you know, and you have a hard time staying awake. And all of a sudden, we heard this explosion, boom, boom. And so we jumped out to go across the road where our other men was. And here was one of our patrols right out there. They were either going out or coming in, and all of a sudden, bang, a mortar hit right in between them and killed four of them right there. And I don't know how many wounded. Didn't touch me. I was only about 20 feet away from them. So that was quite an experience on that place right there.
Absolutely.
Then we went on to more places fighting. Finally, the little town of Prito. We attacked that little town. We got up there by night, and in the morning we went into town, just at daylight. I was right in the middle of this little town, and his buddy and I, and here was a sniper up in this building. He was shooting at us. So we took the bazooka and put a shell right up there and got rid of him. And that no more happened. And there was an explosion back of us. And I don't know what it was. It was either a mortar or a grenade or what. But I got it in the leg, and my buddy got it in the back. And so we went down underneath this little bridge there. And pretty soon they come along and they says, get out of here, get out of here. The tanks are coming, because you can hear this tank shooting at it, boom, bang, boom, knocking the buildings down. And so we got up and we went down the road to where the medics were, and lots of wounded soldiers there. And they says, well, you have to walk by yourself to get out, because the ambulance couldn't get down there. They hit a mine and they couldn't get out. So we got out finally to a Jeep where they took us back up to a field hospital. I went in there and they operated on my leg, took the stuff out, and they put me on a plane and flew me back to England till that healed up. Then when I got done with that, then we went and we made a jump up into Holland. And we fought up in Holland. One time I was up on this hill. We had to take it from the Germans. We tried to take it from them. And they couldn't, and finally we took it from them, and then we was up there all by ourselves. And the Germans had come up there to try to take it back from us. And I fired the bazooka once at this. Well, when we first got there, we went over the hill, down the hill. Here was a hotel and tavern.
Uh-oh.
We went in there, and there was wounded German soldiers and that there. And we went up the bar there, and we got ourselves a glass of beer, and we went back up on the hill. And then the Germans came back there, and I fired one shot at the hotel there. And we had the Germans come up after the hill after us, and one German come right up there. He was right in front of me. Now, all I had was a pistol and a bazooka. Well, I went to shoot the pistol, and I hit him right in front of me. So I took a grenade, and I threw it right at him, and it hit the tree, bounced off, and it was one of these phosphorus grenades. It blew up and it set the whole woods afire there. I don't know what happened to the German. And so I got out of there. Then we went, after that they finally got up there and got us off in that place. Then we went back and we had to go take we went out across the dikes. Oh, wait a minute. I guess we went all across these dikes. We had two British tanks, and part of our guys was on one side of the road, and the other guys were on the other side of the road. And the side I was on, we got right up to the buildings there. There's a couple of buildings there. But the guys, other guys on the other side, they couldn't get up there. And so when we got up there, all of a sudden the grenade come over and lit in back of me, and I pushed myself away from it. And the thing didn't go off. And then we got out and we moved back and we got in this ditch right there. It was where the sewage and that come from, the buildings and that. You know, it was a sloppy ditch place. And we had a young lieutenant there and he had to go to the bathroom. He couldn't do it there. He stepped up on the dry land and started to go, and they shot him dead. These young guys, they didn't know him very much. Well, we finally got off in that place and was back in reserve one night. They had us back in this woods, and all of a sudden that night the shells come in on us, German shells, blowing the trees all down. There was a British car out there, and it hit them, and they were all screaming and that. And I got a piece hit me in the head. And I went, just broke the skin, but I went in and had it taken care of the next day. And then they went and they sent me back to England. And I was in there till I got cured there, and then I had an infection in my ear. And when I went back to my outfit, they came back in the middle of the night, about midnight, and my outfit were all loading up to go into the Battle of the Bulge. They were all loading up on that. Well, I had the infection in my ear yet, so they wouldn't let me go. They sent me back to hospital again. And then my other buddies, they all went up there and fought in the Bulge. They went up into Bastogne first, but then when they moved out of Bastogne, and the 101st came in there. And I finally got up at the very end of the Battle of the Bulge. I saw a little action, but not much. And so when the war was over, when the war ended, they took our outfit and we were Eisenhower's Special Guards. It was at his headquarters there in Frankfurt, Germany. We had on white scarf, white gloves. We'd go and parade right down to the airfield when President Truman came in, and Eisenhower and all these big shots were there, and was there, and then they set us home my points. And so when I got home, I just, when the chance to go home, I went right home, and I got out of the service, and I got married, and then that's a long, long story.
Now, what was the highest rank did you earn, and where are you from?
I forgot to answer that.
I one time they made me PFC. And when we, at the end of the war there one time, they sent me into Paris to get my dentures, my teeth fixed. They made me a partial plate and that there. And then I took off and went into town, and I seemed to forget to go back right away. So when I got back to my outfit there, they had me down on a sick leave all the time, and there was nothing they could do to me, but they gave me hard labor. I had to walk up and down the company street with a pack on my back, and so they took my PFC stripe away from me.
Okay.
So I came out a private.
Okay. Where are you from?
I was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we moved to Corpus Christi, Texas.
Okay.
We've been down there for 27 years.
Oh, you're a Texan now.
And we're a Texan now.
You're a Texan now. Let me ask you one last thing. What do you think about the memorial and what you've seen out here so far today?
I haven't seen nothing yet.
Okay.
I haven't. I didn't know what's in these tents here.
They have all kinds of information. They have the old... we're over here by the old trucks, tanks, jeeps, and then they also have the cantina. They have a veterans history tent. They have information. They actually have a tent where you can go in and see what other people are here from around the same time, and just things all the way down. There's just
That's
so much material down. Excellent. So how long are you going to be in town?
Well, I don't know if we're going to go back Sunday night or Monday night, which one or the other. We came by train and we're going to go back by train. I used to work on the railroad, so it helps go by train.
Is there anything else you want to tell me, you know, anything before I finish our interview?
Well, I married this nice young woman over here. We met on a hayride and we've been married 58 years.
Wow.
We have 5 children. I don't know how many grandchildren and great to them, but we got plenty, and we still love each other.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you very much, sir. And...